Thanks for listening to this Word in Your Ear podcast. If you'd like to get early access to all our productions ad-free, priority booking for our live events, and to take part in our weekly quiz, go to patreon.com/wordinyourear for more details.
I've got terrible nerves, I've got to be honest with you.
One more time, Fraser, here we go. Come on. Two, three. Yeah.
You're listening to a podcast by The Word.
As Frank Sinatra famously says in his Las Vegas live album, when he comes onto that sound and he goes, how did all these people get in my room? Okay? And so the reason is, this Word podcast is number 200, and it's taking place at in the King and Queen in Foley Street in London's swinging West End in front of the London Massive. Please applaud yourself. So we're going to blunder through as best we can the next 40 minutes or so in, celebrating some of the things that people like about the Word podcast, and also involving some of the people in here in games of skill and chance involving rock trivia. But first of all, Mark, can you just describe this beautiful room we're in?
My first impression is that we're seeing here a wide variety of Czech shirts. It's a tremendous fashion show. It looks like a sort of Sausalito country band.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, you could sling together Brinsley Schwartz by whistling.
No trouble
at all.
But it's a very impressive... I think, as will be later revealed, that this was actually the venue in which Bob Dylan played... Was it one of his first gigs?
Bob Dylan played for the first time in Britain. Somebody nodding at the back there. I think I'm right in this. This is terrifying if you're embarking on any kind of improvised rock trivia in front of these people.
Yeah.
You know, because somebody's
the heckling will start early.
Pull a trapdoor and you're just going to disappear if you get it.
If
you get it wrong. He came here in November 1962.
There is a picture, actually, of him on the wall over there. And he is standing, as far as I can see, in front of this very
fireplace. Oh, really?
Which proves... But in the spot that the Massive is now standing.
So you can queue up to have your picture taken in front of the fireplace later on. November 1962, and he came to see Martin Carthy, who was playing in this room. And Martin Carthy looked down, among the Czech shirts and thought, hang on, isn't that Spokesman for a Generation? and he approached him at the interval and said, do you feel like singing a song? And so he came and sang a song. I don't know. I wasn't here. Three songs.
Well, already the music tonight has been of an infinitely higher quality.
Yes.
And I think we should prove it. No, it's a lovely room. And here is a beautiful old Victorian plaster work. And apparently a two-headed teddy bear somewhere.
Two-headed teddy bear in the corner. I know you said two-headed teddy bear sitting on a cash
strange mutant.
That is such a bizarre thing.
But over on the left is a kind of the traditional Massive boot sale. Which I'm very thrilled about, actually, because Dogface Boy has just already given me the rehearsal tapes of Bob Dylan, Ronnie Wood and Keith Richards for Live Aid.
What seems strange to you about that, Pete? What could possibly be wrong about
that? On podcasts Passim, we have told the story of their hopeless performance and how they were under-rehearsed to the extent that Ronnie apparently didn't even know what the song was called he was playing. He said it was it...
Well, he said it's a ballad to Hollis Brown, and he said Hollis Brown.
It's about a cough mixture.
Isn't that cough mixture?
But this proves that they had a 45-minute rigorous rehearsal, apparently. So I have this tape, and I can't wait to...
And Dogface Boy is presumably the legitimate owner of the rights of...
let me make this absolutely clear to my learned friends if they're listening, and to Ronnie Wood, that Dogface did not break into Chateau Wood one night, have it away on his toes with any reel-to-reels.
So, listen, anyway. There's just one thing I wanted to briefly touch on before we go any further. Because this week, the most fascinating story post-Christmas in the kind of rock firmament... The Crankies. ...has been the strange on-off marriage of Sinead O'Connor and her latest... Bow. Are we calling him a bone? Now, Mark, I know that you are, as they say in media circles, across this story. We'll start at the beginning here. Now, Fraser, you followed this a while back, didn't you? Because she advertised on the internet.
She was getting feisty, yes. She had a list of demands. She was looking
for a man.
Of a prospective beau. She had a list of
demands. She required story for family consumption.
This isn't too rude. She came across like she required servicing.
Now, Kay Mossman, you've got a list of these requirements.
She was very specific. I don't know exactly what the sexually explicit requirements were, but I know that she had a very sort of specific measure of the man that she wanted. And she says here, they go, it's about five of them. She goes, he must not be named Brian or Nigel.
Does that disqualify anybody in the room? Are there any Brians or Nigels? No, everybody's still in here. Okay.
I'm surprised everyone hasn't got their hand up.
Yeah. Second tweet, listen to the way it's phrased. I like me a hairy man.
Oh.
So buffed and or waxed need not apply.
Oh.
And then he must be very snuggly, in inverted commas, not just wham bam.
Oh my God.
Next point, he must be wham bam. And the fifth point's my favourite one, he has to like his mother.
Yes.
Well, she's thought about point. This very, very specially.
That's a lot of pressure for the guy. No wonder he's bottled out.
But she found someone, didn't she? She found some guy. Is it a therapist or something like that?
He's a drugs counsellor, which is what's ironic. Given
what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. what happened on the wedding night?
Well, okay, so they then got married in that kind of oasis of stability. Las Vegas
wedding chapel.
You know, and so I'm going to ask questions of the audience. Before she got married, how many times has she been married before? Anybody want to have a go? At the back there. Three, that's absolutely correct. So she'd been there three times before. Okay, they got married in Las Vegas. I was reading a caption in the Daily Mail that said, the couple looked smitten with one another, sharing a passionate kiss for the camera.
Oh. You know?
To me, he looked like a man who just taken on something that he was just too terrible for words. A question, how long did they spend together before they broke up?
16 days.
16 hours. Somebody said 16 days, 16 hours.
It actually is
7 days that they actually spent together. They must have been occupied in doing other things. So they made a go of it then, Rob. They went through the tough times.
Did they spend money together, or were they spending in a Russell Brand, Katy Perry way, where they actually in different continents?
Well, absolutely. Russell Brand and Katy Perry have just split up after, you know, nobody can work out whether they actually spent more than 3 weeks during that time. Anyway, they split up, and then they got back together again, didn't they? And do you know what caused them to get back together again? Sex. Okay, apparently they found themselves in some kind of bunk-up, and she thought, oh, that's absolutely fine.
So she didn't put out another tweet for a service. No. He applied under a different name, and then she met him again.
Now, I'm asking the room to speculate whether I'm unkind or cynical in any way in suggesting that this has anything to do with the fact that Sinead O'Connor is on tour in February. Do you think that's fair? Do you think there's any connection at all?
No, you're so unlike this podcast.
Unworthy of me to speculate in that
really filter. Yeah.
And so, just to mark this particular occasion of Sinead's, you know, bumpy menage, we thought we would just run through some of the more spectacular cases of gruesome twosomes in rock history, when people have gone down the aisle with not necessarily the best intentions, and it hasn't worked out perfectly. Mark, you go first.
Well, I've chosen Greg Allman and Cher.
Yay!
I've actually taken the course of having to write some things on a piece of paper here because the details are so not forgotten. It's absolutely ludicrous. Greg Allman has been married, according to Wikipedia, at least six times.
Yes.
I wouldn't say six times, at least. One of those, I think, was to the sister of the bassist of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. You need to know that, don't you?
Yeah.
So very rock and roll. His oldest child is 46. They have tremendous names. Three of them are musicians, as you would be, I imagine, if you're in the DNA of the great Greg Allman, Grunting Greg. Devon Allman, who's 40, is the leader of Honey Tribe. Elijah Blue Allman, age 35, who's actually the son of Cher, of course.
Yeah.
Is the leader of a group called Deadzy, and Layla Brooklyn Allman, who's 18, fronts a group called Picture Me Broken. Now, no one has any idea how many children he's got. He has three grandchildren. And he also married a porn star, I think, called Savannah. Do you remember that?
You've kind of got to, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just to keep it interesting.
Yeah.
But he met Cher in 1975 and they got married. And if I remember rightly, she filed for divorce after 9 days. And what happened was, I'm sure I can remember following some Melody Maker at the time, that they'd gone out, it'd all gone horribly wrong, making Sinead's thing look like a walking I think Greg had enormous reliance on the source.
Where was it, in Vegas again?
No, it wasn't. It would be great in the Las Vegas wedding chapel. No, it was in Los Angeles. And there is reportedly a famous picture of him on their ninth night of their wedding when he has taken so many, whatever, magic mushrooms, he has fainted face first into a plate of spaghetti. That's bad, isn't it? That's a bad date, isn't it? It must have been a date because they're married, they're hair all over me. So she files for divorce. And what I think happened was that she said, when I called him to say that it was over, he was so high that he didn't understand me. So that particular filing for divorce didn't work out. But about 2 weeks later, he had sobered up to the extent that he thought she was being a bit of pain, and then he then filed for divorce. So it was no one was quite sure if they were filing for divorce because they were so out of it.
Each claimed to be their first.
Each claimed, exactly.
But it's a classic.
The group. Well, then I think she got pregnant, actually. They were going to spend it, she got pregnant.
With Elijah Blue,
that's right. So they stayed together. And all I can remember was that they appeared on Old Grey Whistle Tapes. I'm old enough to say I remember
together.
Watching that. You know, yeah, they formed a group called All Man and Woman.
And anybody got the album on the Capricorn label? Nobody got that?
They were absolutely appalling, and that was pretty much it. I mean, it just not.
But my favorite addendum to the Allman chair setup is Elijah Blue. Who's seen the video of Turn Back Time by Cher?
Yeah.
Which is, it's a rather modest effort, which he actually performs on a battleship.
Astride a
God knows how many inch gun. Wearing a thong. She's wearing a thong, and she must have been in her late 40s or something at the time. And she's actually thrusting her pelvis at her son,
yeah.
who's playing the guitar, which you think is the greatest moment in culture, yeah. you know. And but she had no shame at all. So that's Cher and Greg.
They okay. rate pretty highly.
For me, it would have to be Bobby and Whitney.
Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Houston, we have a problem, that kind of thing. the thing is, that you imagine all these celebrity marriages, you know, they sort of, it lasts 6 months to a year and then everyone goes, hands in the air, nothing to see here, finish it as quickly as possible. Guess how long this marriage lasted?
Guess when
they met?
Limped along, didn't it? Go on.
Anyone get any guesses when they met?
55 hours.
It was 1989.
So they met in 1989.
She filed for divorce in 2007.
Oh, come on.
And their life was played out weekly in the form of a reality TV show called Being Bobby Brown. So you can see it was slightly weighted towards him, in which they would do things like proposition each other grotesquely in front of their own kids. And then they'd have play fights and slap each other's faces. This was on TV. And the interesting thing about him is that he had been recently diagnosed with bipolar disorder and ADD, but he kept that at bay. He kept the symptoms down with a mixture of marijuana and cocaine. It was his own combination.
Self-medicated.
So he would.
We've all done it.
He would lace. He would lace his marijuana.
That's his prerogative.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I found a great thing that she'd said about him, because the TV show suggested they were both as bad as each other in a way. And she, you know, someone said, "Why are you married to him?" And she goes. "I've got a good man. He takes care of me. I don't have to be scared of anything because I know he will kick every... Well, disrespect him and you've got a problem."
Oh, dear God.
So who's the more disturbed? Elijah Blue Allman, from his mum thrusting at him on a top of a...
Well, interestingly, Bobby Brown has five children, two of whom are called Bobby.
He's up there. I have to just throw in one more, because I do have to sometimes... have a reality check. I have to think to myself, did Michael Jackson really marry Lisa Marie Presley? you know, seriously, it's one of those things, you think, did I read that in an outlandish novel, or did that actually occur? And, well, it did occur, and she's been married four times, and then the marriage to Michael Jackson didn't last very long. She subsequently talked about it. She said there was one occasion where she turned up at an award show where he was getting an award, and he sang to her from the audience. They hadn't seen each other for 6 weeks before that. She just turned up, and you know that was part of the performance. And she's asked by Oprah Whitney, "Did he love you?" And I'm sorry to introduce a kind of serious point here, but her answer struck me as quite profound. I'm serious here. She said, "He loved me as much as he could." And I think that probably says something.
Quite understanding.
Quite understanding. You know,
high level psychology. Though.
Well, you know, yeah. These people are so consumed with getting people to love them.
Yeah.
It's very difficult for them to give any of that stuff out.
Give out. Yeah.
So, let's have a show of hands. Who's your favourite gruesome twosome in rock? Is it Sinead and her current bloke?
Oh, we're voting.
Great. Yeah, okay. So anybody care to know? Okay.
Yeah, me.
I got somebody over there. Okay. Greg and Cher.
Grant and Greg. Come on. You know it.
Oh, it's got a good showing there. Bobby and Whitney.
Oh, yeah.
All pretty equal showing. And Lisa Marie and Michael. There's absolutely no decision in that, you know. So the jury's still out on that. So that brings to an end the first bit of the World Podcast. Please show your appreciation.
You've been listening to the free feed of the Word Podcast. The full album-length version is only available to subscribers to the magazine. To sign up and to hear the rest of this podcast, go to www.wordpodcast.co.uk.